to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I was looking at my notes this morning and I thought, my goodness, all those years I worked for the Bank of Commerce and I can't count to five. This is the fifth in the series on walking in our calling. And we began that a few weeks ago, and we looked at the issue of walking in our calling and how the Holy Spirit is given to us. But not just the Holy Spirit. We looked at Romans 12. We read 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4. And now we have completed two sessions on Romans 12, looking at the motivational gifts, seven gifts that God the Father gives to every individual. And that's the spark that moves us. Today we begin a three-part series looking at the manifested gifts, and these are given by the Holy Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 12, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." That's a much gentler word than the Old King James. I think the Old King James says, "I don't want you to be ignorant." "Do not want you to be uninformed. So know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God can say Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." We're not talking just about words that come out of a person's mouth. Lynn and I have been in pastoral ministry for virtually all of our married life, 44 years now. Lynn was raised as a missionary's kid on the field in Africa. We've seen all kinds of people come to the altar and say Jesus is Lord and make a confession of faith, and it never walked out. That's not what this is talking about. Man looks at the outward appearance, amen? But God looks at the heart. We can say what we want with our mouth. I forget who it was. I can't remember who it was. Gord praying or someone this morning talking about the importance that our life has to live out what our words say. There needs to be a matching there. Verse 4. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each one is given the manifestation." The word manifest simply means to make known to the senses, to make it visible, that people can see and appreciate. "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the Spirit of the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts, plural, of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who appropriates to each one individually as he wills." Father God, as we turn our attention to your word this morning, by way of devotion of our heart to you, would you just consecrate our minds, set us apart from the issues of the world, the issues of life. Help us to focus on the things that your word says, that we would be enriched and blessed by it. We ask this in Jesus' name. So our devotional on the 12th of June and the 26th, we're entitled "The Motivational Gifts for Our Calling." And we looked at the motivational gift of prophecy. Prophecy is included in each of the three major sections that we're looking at the motivational gifts, the manifested gifts, and the ministry gifts in Ephesians chapter 4. The motivational gift of service. I said to Ruth this morning, I said, "Boy, the sod's looking pretty good out there." They didn't take the big equipment on it to cut it, so it's growing well. She made the comment, "It's not as green as we wanted it to be." But I'm impressed. And it was a lot of work. It was a lot of service. The motivational gift of teaching. the motivational gift of exhortation, the motivational gift of giving, and this congregation is a giving congregation. The amount that this assembly has invested in the last several years in both building churches and residents in Mexico and the regular monthly giving to that helps pastors feed people in Mexico is incredible. Well over $4,000 just in the food. And this last year, not exclusively from us or entirely from us, but this assembly rooted down $10,000 to build the facility in Mexico to house the pastor and their meeting there. And this assembly understands giving, the motivational gift of leading, and the motivational gift of mercy. Today we consider the first three manifested gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Was that Wednesday or did we do it Thursday, our phone conversation? Was it Wednesday? We got talking and we were, I just gave him a brief, I'd already sent the outline so that he can help pick out the music. We were talking about the spiritual gifts. The word there is pneumatica. And many individuals here, that word will trigger some thoughts in your mind, especially if you're involved in mechanics or if you're involved in carpentry. We talk about pneumatic tools. And what's a pneumatic tool? Air-driven. And pneumatica, pneuma is the Greek word for the spirit. And I think I got, you can put that clip up there, that first one. If we're trying to do the work of God, relying on ourselves, it doesn't happen. I nearly unplugged the power cord here this morning, just walking, and I hooked my foot on it and had to reconnect. But if we're going to do, to be honest with you, if you're trying to live the Christian life in the power of your flesh, you're gonna have a tough time. You really are. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. How he walks is so much different than us. We need to be connected to the Holy Spirit. And he makes that promise. He makes that available. He says, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send the helper, the comforter, the paraclete, the one called along beside the help. So learning not to live that way is a challenge. You can go back to the outline there, please, Len. He gives to each one the manifestation of the Spirit. I've been in Pentecostal charismatic circles almost my entire Christian life. And I've had people say, well, I got this gift, or I've got that gift. And it was E.V. Hill at a men's conference in Boulder, Colorado. It was one of the early Promise Keeper events. There were 54,000 of us at the stadium. And he said, someone said, you know, you prayed for somebody last Sunday and they were healed. We should put up E.V. Hill, a healer, because you got the gift of healing. He says, I'm not sick. And he went on, he made a point. He says, the spiritual gifts aren't for you. They're through you to people that have the need. And if I start to perceive myself as having this gift, that's not in line with Scripture. This is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit working through us to those that have need. You know, Helen's testimony a couple of months ago, for some reason, she calls Sam. I'm not putting Sam down, but she didn't call one of the other elders or one of the deacons. She calls Sam and says, I got a problem with my eyes. Would you pray for me? And he says, okay, sure. And he prays. And then she goes and sees the doctor, and her eyes are healed. You know? God worked through you. You know? That's what it's about. You know? And to be honest, in a way, I think God spoke to Helen a word of wisdom, in my opinion, saying, get Sam to pray for you. Because in the logical pattern of things, you would have think she would have called Larry. Or Tim. Or Darcy. You know? But Sam. She didn't call me. Yeah? Are you getting the drift? God wants to move through the body as He wills. And it's a manifestation. And that should encourage each one of us. You don't have to hold a particular office for God to use you. All you got to do is be a member of His body. Amen? The door's open for all of us. Okay? He says, I don't want you to be uninformed. I like that word so much better than ignorant. Well, I don't want you to be uninformed. And that's why we're doing this section at this time. I really believe it's important that it's of the Holy Spirit, that God wants us to understand that you, everyone has a motivational gift and that there are manifested gifts and God wants to flow them through you. I don't know how often Sam might manifest the gift of healing. But it can happen to any one of us at any time. Amen? Amen. We need to be open to that. 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The simplest meaning for the word manifest is simply to make known to the senses. You know? And can I be honest with you? Especially you, Sam. I think that happened that you would know, not that just that Helen would be healed, but that you would know the Holy Spirit is with you and in you, and He can come upon you, and He can do through you as He wills. And we need, each one of us needs to come to that place of saying, I don't want to be plugged into myself. I want to be plugged into God. And I want God to be available to use me any way He wants. But I have to give Him permission. I have to allow that to happen. we all know that it's coveting is a wrong thing. If it's done in the wrong way. But get this. Turn the page in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 14. verse 1 and 2. Pursue love, especially desire. I think the old King James word uses the word covet. But pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For the one who speaks in tongues speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their building up and their encouragement and consolation. When I happened to bump into Gord, and I make several trips when I'm doing things. You know, I made 3 trips to the car, getting stuff out on Sunday, and then I got everything in the car, and I came back and made sure I had locked the door. I got home from work last night, and I said to Lynn, can I take your car for a minute? I was too tired to walk a block and a half back to work. I took the car, drove down, and I said, I broke my routine. I didn't check the doors when I left. I knew I locked them, but 7 years in the Bank of Commerce, you learn to make sure the vault's locked, you make sure the doors are locked. I broke routine. I said, if I don't go check, I won't be able to sleep. Can anybody identify with that? So I went back and I checked. They were locked. I get back in the house. She says, were they locked? I said, yes. But now I can sleep. You know? Yeah? Never trust yourself. Trust God. Rely on Him. He wants to do things that you can't imagine. And don't lock out God. You know? You may not be sure about the spiritual gifts, but the Word of God says you need to covet them. You need to earnestly seek them and desire them. Why? That you would be something? No, but that the people around you would be blessed by God. That's what it's all about. Okay? To attempt to serve others without being empowered by the Holy Spirit is just to work out of your own flesh. And that was that little clip we had up on the screen. The manifested gift of wisdom. Verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 12. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. How many have heard the female name Sophia? That's that word. Wisdom. From the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, the first edition, because there's now, I think, three editions, page 2024, the word of wisdom, a supernatural perspective to ascertain the divine needs for accomplishing God's plan in given situations. That's a mouthful. You need to think that one through. God wants to do certain things. You prayed for Circle Square. You prayed for the needs of the camp. God wants to accomplish things there. And what the biggest need that we have, in whether it's a local church or whether it's a camp setting or whether it's a mission work, we need wisdom. How to do it. You know? B, divinely given power to appropriate spiritual intuition in problem solving. You know? Sometimes you can't give explanation to use the expression, that gut feeling of something that needs to be done. You know? But the Holy Spirit wants to work that way in our lives. He wants to speak to us. A sense of divine direction. Being led by the Holy Spirit to act appropriately in a given set of circumstances. You know, anybody that's been involved in Christian fellowship for any length of time knows what it is to be hurt in the congregation. You know, we might know what right and appropriate behavior is, but we don't always do it. And it takes real wisdom to live out the Holy Spirit, and it takes that work of the Holy Spirit in us. Knowledge rightly applied. Wisdom works interactively with knowledge and discernment. 2 Corinthians 1:10, Solomon asks of God to be equipped. He says, give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and to come in before this people, who can govern this people of yours, which is so great. We need wisdom in our daily affairs. You know? Larry's going, how many labs do you run?
17.
I'm not even going to ask how many employees you got. But I'm sure there's issues at times. That was amen, in case you didn't hear. And we need wisdom in order to handle those things the way God would. God is always, he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Not the ministry of confrontation. You know, God's a reconciler. He brings things together. And he wants us to function as one people. Acts 6 and 10. Stephen. If I remember right, he was a deacon. He was also the first martyr in the church. And they're interrogating him. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he, Stephen, was speaking. So what did they do? Stoned him. You know? It's not the outcome you were hoping for. James 1 and 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. What I understand from that is, gosh, just listen. One of the manifested gifts of the Holy Spirit is wisdom. But if you're in a situation, you're being pressed. Because in James 1, it's not if trials come. It's when. And when they come, the first thing, this is supposed to be tucked in my mind and be part of my character. When it does happen, I'm supposed to do what? Count it all joy, brethren. That's just, you know, like to me, that's like leaning into a punch. You know, makes no sense. But if I will obey that, and in that attitude of joy, saying God is present. It looks like a mess, but God's present. God's going to make a way. I don't understand. I don't get it. But if I will pray without doubting, and not be like a ship without anchors and without guidance, tossed about to and fro in the waves, he will answer and he will give me wisdom. If any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll give. That there will be that supernatural flow of God into our life where all of a sudden it makes clarity. And very few of us are ever in a situation of difficulty and adversity alone. Our life is touching many other people. So when God gives you wisdom, it's flowing out to others as well. Amen? There's to be that flow. You know, the simplest illustration for me is I was quite shocked when I started working at the grocery store and I discovered, because I didn't know this before, you know, I always thought tomatoes were a vegetable because you put it in a vegetable salad. But do you know technically it's a fruit? I didn't know that. But I've learned this much. You don't put tomatoes in a fruit salad. It don't work, you know. So you might know things, but how you apply it is wisdom. You know. I also didn't know that a banana, this has got nothing to do with the message. But it's important for you to know. Technically, banana is not a fruit. Technically, it's a herb. Never knew that either. You know. But I still eat it like a fruit. The manifested gift of knowledge. 1 Corinthians 12:8. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. The Spirit-filled Life Bible, again, page 2024. Supernatural revelation of divine will and plan. No. The elder and deacon board here really seeks actively to have Christ as the head. And God is speaking things to individuals within that group. And a plan is being worked and developed. And you'll experience it later down the road. But and there's always a timing. There's a working of it out. God gives knowledge. The supernatural insight or understanding of circumstances or a body of facts by revelation. That is, without assistance of any human resource, but solely by divine aid. It implies a deeper and more advanced understanding of the communicated acts of God. God speaks, God does things, but what's it about? And God wants to give us that insight. It involves moral wisdom for right living and relationships. Requires objective understanding concerning divine things in human duties. May also refer to knowledge of God or of the things that belong to God, listen, as revealed in the Gospels. I reject anything that somebody comes and says, I have special knowledge and it's not in here. They're adding to the Word of God, revelation. God wants to give a special insight and understanding to what he said and why he says it. Philippians 3 and 8 says, indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. In our daily walk, God wants to reveal himself to us in a deeper, more meaningful way And in a first, there's a personal application of my own life. And then that is met, as was prayed earlier, that gets manifested out. Okay? For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may obtain Christ. You know? Keeps reminding me of the Psalms. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. You know? 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradiction of what is falsely called knowledge. There's one truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm very dubious of people who say, I have a special knowledge. If it's not in here, I got a problem. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. I don't know if you're familiar with the account in 2 Kings chapter 6. It's kind of humorous. There was a king of Syria who decided he was going to attack Israel. And he's meeting with his men, his leadership. And much to his dismay, the enemy's prepared. So they set another plan, and the enemy's prepared. And he says, someone in here is a traitor. And one of them says, you know, there's this prophet Elijah. And God was giving the prophet Elijah the inside line as to what the king was advising and what their plans were. To the point, it was so specific that he thought for sure there was a traitor in his midst. But God gave that knowledge to the prophet, and the Israelites were prepared and defeated the king. God wants to give us that kind of ability and insight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. And listen, God wants you to understand what their strategy is. And to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Amen? God wants to do that. And you know, I forget the exact detail. You had a cow that calved. You probably would have believed it was the Holy Spirit that told you. But your wife told you. Kind of reminiscent of Adam, you know? Yeah. Adam was told by God, don't eat of the fruit. Eve couldn't trust him. And the serpent says, you know, no, you won't die. And then she gave to Adam. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit works through the one that we're connected with. That was kind of an apology, Lynn. Yeah. She warned me about a certain thing we endeavored to do years ago in Lindsay, Ontario. She says, this isn't going to work. I said, well, I feel God's telling me to do it. And when it blew up, she never stood there and said, I told you so. She never did that. You know? We need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit speaking through one another, because it might be a word of knowledge being given to you by them. You know, well, if I don't hear it right from God, I don't want it. No, careful. I used this illustration 4 or 5 weeks ago. Pastor Bob Birch, we were part of an assembly, and Bob was called in to do a workshop on spiritual gifts. And one of the ladies from our assembly that was part of this was scheduled to go in and have surgery for cancer the following week. And the last night of that workshop, Bob had us get in a circle, and Pastor Birch was going, and he was praying for him. And he got to this lady, and he goes to lay hands on her, and then he pulls his hands back, and he steps back, and he says, he didn't pray for healing. He says, the Lord would have you know that you are healed. Not, I'm going to pray for healing. The Lord would have you know that you are healed. So before you have any radical procedure done, have your doctor check you again. And then he went to the next person. That was the first time I'd ever seen anything like that. And she called her doctor and said, I need to be checked again. Oh, no, the surgery's got, no, I need to be checked again. And he and there was no sign of the cancer. It was gone. He didn't pray for healing. He made the declaration, the Lord would have, and I remember so clearly in my, he would have you know. There are things God wants us to know and be set free. And then as the years went on and I began to look more at the pneumatica, the working of God, that kept coming back to me so strongly. That we would be able to give a word of knowledge to people as to what God is specifically wanting to do in their life. You know, and the number of times that Jesus healed, and more times than not, he would say, go show yourself to the priests. To be, you know, if God's done something in our life, you can have it tested. It'll stand the test. Amen? Yeah. Years ago, I went with a friend of mine, John Fair. I liked John. He was quite a character. First time I met him, we were shaking hands. He's looking at me and he says, when I look at you, I see more than what you see when you look at me. What? He says, well, you got two eyes. I only got one. But he became a tremendous friend. And we went down to the Autumn Leadership Conference with Pastor Jack Hayford, First Four Square Church of Van Nuys, California. And there's 1,500 of us gathered there. And he invites Roy Hicks to the platform. And Roy is praying. And he steps over away from Pastor Jack. And he says, there's someone here who has a paralysis. And God wants you to know that right now he's healing you. Well, this was just a little while after I'd had Bell's palsy. And John Fair is sitting there, and I had sore ribs. He's banging me. He says, that's you. This is a Mennonite guy. He says, this stuff is real. And he's elbowing, that's you. So on the break, he and I go looking for Roy Hicks, and we explain the thing to him. And Roy prayed. He didn't pray that I be healed. He said, the Lord wants you to know you are being healed. You know, 1,500. Oh, you can say, oh, you know, it's a coincidence. Out of 1,500, that's astrology. You know? No. But the whole point of it was that John walked away from that event believing that God wants to work today through us. You know? It was a manifestation, not for me, for John. But it happened in me because John knew me and he knew the situation. The Sunday that I had the Bell's palsy, it was on, I can look up, I can give you the date. Because the message I was preaching that Sunday when it happened while I was behind the pulpit. I was preaching on saving face or saving faith. On the life of Paul. And people thought I was having a stroke. You know? He was there. And then Roy Hicks Sr. prays this. And he knew. Our God is real. His Holy Spirit's real. He works now. Not just then. He works now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is in the business of the supernatural because he's super and that's all he knows how to do. And he's working through you, the natural. So it's supernatural. The manifested gift of faith. 1 Corinthians 12:9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Again, the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. Page 2024. Gift of faith, a supernatural ability to believe God without doubt. My wife sleeps rather soundly. And I'm laying there beside her thinking about a million things that can go wrong. She's a missionary's kid, you know. She's seen tough days. She knows what it is, you know. She just believes. I believe, eventually. It's like the comedian that said, you know, I had a Geo Metro. It went from 0 to 50, eventually. Yeah. I get faith, eventually. Supernatural ability to combat unbelief. Supernatural ability to meet adverse circumstances with trust in God's messages and word. That year that I went down to Boulder, Colorado, was just shortly after Johnny was brought into the world. Lynn got really sick. HELLP syndrome, hyper-elevated liver enzyme lower platelets. And she could have bled out. She could have died. Johnny was 2 pounds, half ounce. And a wife has the incredible capacity to enrich and bless and encourage a husband. I said, I guess I should stay behind. She says, no, you need to take them in. There's nothing you can do here anyway. And she says, Mom's coming out. Okay, I'll go. Yeah. And while I was in Boulder, Colorado, she praised over Johnny. She told me about it. I didn't witness it, but I trust her word. He's in that little basket, that incubator thing. He had tubes running everywhere. Yeah. And she says, God, if he's not going to serve you, take him now. That's faith. That's faith. And all our kids serve the Lord. You know? The ability to see beyond the current situation and see God's hand at work. An inner conviction impelling an urgent and higher calling. God's driving us on. Romans 12:3, for by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Every person has a measure of faith, and you might have the smallest faith you can think of. You might say you have the faith only of a mustard seed, but Jesus said if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, that obstacle, that the thing that is blocking your way, you can say to it, be moved and cast it in the sea, and it'll be moved. Listen, God has given you the faith that for that moment that you require, but God doesn't say it's stagnant. Romans 10:7, so then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of Christ. We can enlarge, we can grow our faith. Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. God wants us to grow our faith, because as we walk, you know, I forget who, someone this morning made comment that the adversary will come. There will be obstacles that come in the way. And I keep thinking of that Far Side commercial where the two deer are talking to one another and they're looking at the third deer over there and he's got this bullseye on his side and the one deer says to the other, what a lousy birthmark. You know? And as believers, you know, when I was a non-believer, the devil wasn't worried about me. I was already gone. But when I became a Christian, guess what? I became an enemy. But greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And by faith I receive that. By faith I accept that. And that there is no temptation that has come upon man, but that which is common to man. And in the midst of that, he will make a way of escape. And to me, that's getting out of there. But the verse goes on and says that you may endure underneath it. To me, that's not escape. You know? And then I think of Larry Christians. He says, Christians are like sponges. You don't know what's in them until they're squeezed. And when I get squeezed, I find out what's really in me. And then I have to deal with it. Hello? But by faith, it begins to rise up. Brother Brown, this is Lynn's Sister Sandy Marie Mark Brown, and this is his dad. He shared with me years ago. He was making $5 a week working for a printer cutting rubber stamps. And he heard that one of the partners was retiring, and he felt that he should maybe buy that partnership. But at $5 a week, you know, I mean, even though this was years ago, that still wasn't much money. And he was reading through Isaiah, and he came to the verse of Scripture that says, "Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." And he says, that came right, and he's sharing this with me. This is the first time I understood the difference between logos and rhema. He says, this is the word of God. This is the logos. But God caused that to come off the page. It made it real to me. It now became rhema. Became a personal word to him. So he goes into the bank, and he says, I want to apply to get a loan to buy. And the guy looked at him, he says, $5 a week. You haven't got a hope. He says, no, I want this done. So the guy remits it to the regional office, and to the amazement of the manager, it comes back approved. And when I met him, this is some years after Mark and Sandy had been married. So, you know, and his kids were growing up. So this is years later. The business he owned at that time was the result of that acquisition as a partner. He bought the other partner on. It was the largest non-union, privately owned printing company in North America. And, Bob, you remember the old days? Hunter Huntley Street, they put out a monthly devotional. He printed those. He took us in this room. It's the weirdest room I'd ever seen. It had funny walls. And here, we were standing inside the camera. And it was, the whole wall was the plate. And then they would take a picture and it would go on the plate and they would print it. It was wild. Yeah. Just, it was wrong. But God had spoke to him. And he had faith to believe it. Yeah. Brother George Mueller, late 1800s. During his lifetime, he cared for 10,024 orphans. He established 117 schools which offered Christian education to more than 120,000 children. And in his ministry, they never solicited for funds. It was all faith-based. In the early years, they'd get up in the morning. They had no food to feed the orphans, you know. But they prayed the night before. He'd open the door, and there'd be baskets of food there. Great faith. I think a circle square. We need to be screwing up our faith and saying, God, you want to do something, you know. Beyond our own ability. Brother R.G. Letourneau, this guy just, you know, what an amazing man he was. 70% of the earth-moving equipment used by the Allied forces in World War I was developed by Letourneau. More than half of the Canadian Alcan Highway was built with Letourneau equipment. Over the course of his life, he secured nearly 300 patents. I looked it up, it was 299. Nearly 300, relating to earth-moving equipment, manufacturing processes, and machining tools. I got a couple of shots here for you. This is one of his overland trains that he built. Yeah, incredible. He says, "I shovel money out." At his death, they found out in dealing with his estate that 90% of what his company earned, they gave away. A very significant portion went to the Christian Missionary Alliance Church for missions work. He says, I shovel money out. God shovels it back. But God's got a bigger shovel. God wants us to function in wisdom. He wants to give us special knowledge. And he wants us to have faith that builds up. Amen? And the beginning point of all faith, for the believer is communion. I think everybody's got a communion cup except me.